For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
This week's parasha, Parashas Va'era. It's also Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat. Usually, Va'era is Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat. And it's also the second week, as we spoke about last week, the second week of Shoivivim. We are now in the sixth, and now in a leap year, 8 weeks of what's known as Shoivavim Tat, which starts with Shmois and ends with Tetzava. So Va'era is the second week of Shoivivim. And this week, we make the transformation, the transition from Teves to Shvat. Teves and Shvat are both very difficult months, weather-wise. They're cold, they're long nights, as Chazal referred to them as the Leilei Teves or Aruchim. They're months under the domain of Esav. But despite the difficulties of Teves and Shvat, Shvat is already sweetened, beginning with Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is already a Yom Tov, and starting Chamisha Asa B'Shvat, there's an uptrend in time all the way till Shavuos. Every 2 weeks is a Yom Tov. Tu B'Shvat, you have Rosh Chodesh Adar, this year Adar Aleph, Purim Katan, Adar Beis, Purim Pesach, Pesach Sheni, Lag Boim, Shavuos, all the way up from Tu B'Shvat. Until Tu B'Shvat, though, we're in a downtrend in time, Yerida, which starts after Hanukkah. So this is a difficult time period, but there's already a light. We see already the light at the other end of the tunnel, beginning with Chodesh Shvat. Especially according to Beis Shammai, the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan is already Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. The Minchas Elazar, famous Munkach Rebbe, was very happy when it was Shabbos Mevarchim Shvat. He already said he sees the Hamtaka. He sees the sweetness. Even though it was still Teves, but we already see the light. There's Shvat, there's Tu B'Shvat. Yamim Tovim are coming. And the same is the Parsha Va'era. Va'era is a very joyous Parsha. Va'era is where the Ge'ula begins. There's already light. There's already revelation. The Aschalt of the Ge'ula starts in Parsha Va'era. Parshas Va'era is the parasha that has in it the four expressions of Geula, the Haitzesi, the Hitzalti, the Goalti, the Lakachti, which of course connected that. We have, just started, the four cups, the four kaisis. We also have the fifth expression of Geula, which not everyone is aware of perhaps, the Hevesi, which is in this week's parasha, which is the Kaisa Shel Eliyahu. And in this parasha we also read about Moshe and Aaron, and how they're related, how they descend from Levi. What's interesting, that in Parshas Shemois, where the Torah talks to us for the first time about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah does not discuss the Yichus. It just says, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Bas Levi. We sort of keep the identity of the Redeemer concealed in Parshas Shemois. Because Shemois is still Golus. But Va'era is already Aschalta de Geula. We now are not afraid. We now reveal who the Redeemer is. We know who it is. Moshe. Moshe is the one who's the descendant of Levi. The Torah now describes in detail who the parents were. Vayikach Amram. So if the Torah for some reason reveals it here, doesn't reveal it in Parshas Shemois. In Shemois it's hidden. In Shemois it's concealed. And in Va'era, it's the Hizgalus. In Va'era, it's revealed. The word Va'era actually means revelation. I appeared, the Iskalesi, as Unkelu says. So this is the parsha where the Geula is now starting. Of course, it intensifies next week. Parshas Bo is already Geula. You see us Mitzrayim, and B'Shalach even more so. V'ya Yisrael is Mitzrayim, Mesel, Sfas Hayom. And then, of course, Yisrael, Matan Torah, which continues in Mishpatim. There are a number of difficulties, a lot of difficulties, when you learn Chumash, and you learn Chumash right. So you'll have a lot of questions, and a small amount of time that we have, just to go through one idea and connect it also to the weeks of Shoivim that we're in now. At the end of Parshas Shmois, Moshe Rabbeinu sort of complains to Hashem. Sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is very upset. I mean, not that it sounds, he is very upset. And he says to Hashem, Lama harayosa la'am hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani, u'me'oz bosi el pari l'dabi b'shmecha, hera la'am hazeh. Right, things got worse. Ever since Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to be the Redeemer, and things should have started rolling, instead it seems that things are going backwards. The Golus is intensifying. Pari is not giving them any straw anymore, and they have to make the same quota of bricks. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Hashem and he says, Lama harei oisa la'am hazeh. Now, Chazal say that he was admonished for saying that. Chazal say, based on the last pasuk, Atosira, Hashem is telling him, you're going to see what I'm going to do now. You're not going to see what I'm going to do to the seven kings, to the seven nations, the 31 kings in Eretz Yisrael. It's a punishment for complaining. Rashi continues with that theme at the beginning here of Eira. He brings it out from Chazal. Chaval, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Chaval al da'abdin v'loy mishtakhin. Yeshli his oinein al misa sa'ovois. Hashem says, I'm upset, I miss the patriarchs. They never questioned me. Whatever happened, they accepted it. No hirhurim, no complaints. And you're already complaining. Lama hari oisalam hazeh. So from Chazal, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was taken to task for complaining. Although, in the Sifrei Chassidus, it's brought down that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Manag Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu encompasses all of Klal Yisrael. He's the Nasi, he's the leader, the Manag Yisrael, who's koilel the entire Am Yisrael. And the Tzara of Am Yisrael affects him. He can't control himself, Kaviyachal. He can't. Lama Hari Oysa Lama Azad. That's me. He's the closest. Sheish Meis Elef Ragli. Anoichi B'soichai, as the Pasuk says, he encompasses all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. So when Klal Yisrael is suffering, naturally the man of Yisrael is suffering. And he cries out to Hashem, not because of himself, but because of Am Yisrael. Lama Hari Oysa Lama Azad. But he's taken to task for saying that. But if we look at the Pasuk right before that, it came right after Moshe Rabbeinu confronts, according to Chazal also, this is Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram, who Moshe Rabbeinu already encountered 68 years before this, when he first went out, Vayetze Moshe El Echo Vayar B'Sivloisim, it says, he saw Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim, two Jews are fighting, and he says one to the other, Rosh Olama Sakar Yechem, and Rashi says, who were they? Dasan and Aviram. Whenever it says Nitzim, Nitzavim, it's always Dasan and Aviram. And to that, Moshe responds, Ochein Noida Hadovar. Now I know why the Jews deserve to suffer in Golas Mitzrayim, Dilturin Yesh Bohem. If they can talk this way, if they can fight, if they can slander, which is what they did, they ran to Pari and told Pari about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had to run away. And for 68 years, Moshe can't come back to Mitzrayim. Now he encounters the same individuals. Nitzavim Likrosam here. And what do they tell him? Yeira Hashem Aleichem V'Yishbait. Hashem should judge you. Asher hiv'ashtem es reichenu be'enei farei. A very interesting expression that you don't find anywhere else in Chumash. Hiv'ashtem es reichenu. You made our odor abhorrent. You made us, literally, really it means you gave us a bad reputation. Our reyach is nivash. Hiv'ashtem es reichenu. In Hebrew, a skunk is called a boash, beis aleph shin. Skunk gives off an unpleasant odor, to say the least. So that's the word hivashtem, which we have in this week's parasha. By the Maka of Dam, it says, uvoash hayor, the river rotted, the river smells, because after the fish die, you could imagine the stench that came out of the river. And then by the frogs, it says, vativash ha'oretz, after the dead frogs were piled up, that also gave off, I'm sure, not a very pleasant stench. So here, this is the words that they use when they're complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, when they say to him, what did you come for? They're basically telling him, we gain nothing with your arrival. You're supposed to be the Redeemer, and you told us that the Geula is coming. Things got worse, so go home. What do we need you for? What do we need you here for? If Ashtem Esreichen, you ruined our reputation. To that, Moshe Rabbeinu responds, not to them, but to Hashem, also with a seemingly negative phrase, Lama Hari Yisalam Hazeh. And this continues, it spills over into this week's parasha, where the parasha begins, Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. All the Mefarshim ask, what is this pasuk telling us? Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem.
that what Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he's Hashem. He spoke to him already. He knows who he is. He met him by the snare. He met him by the burning bush. And for 7 days back and forth, they're conversing, and Moshe is refusing to go until finally Moshe Rabbeinu decides to go. So what's an Ayidabra Elokim El Moshe? Vayomer El Levani Hashem. Okay, we know what Rashi says, but there's another amkus here to what's happening, what's going on in this entire parasha. Right after this, when Moshe Rabbeinu repeats what Hashem told him to Klal Yisrael, he gives over the Dalal Shoyin Yisrael Geula. So it says, Vayidabra Moshe Kein El Bnei Yisrael, Veloy Shomu El Moshe. They didn't listen to what he had to say. Rashi says, like Kiblu Tanchumen, they were not willing to accept any condolences. Doesn't mean they didn't hear what he said. They heard what he said. It means, like Kiblu Tanchumen. So the obvious question that Mepharshim ask is, who would not want to hear such wonderful things? The Redeemer comes and tells you, this is it, and you're getting out of Golis now. They're not listening because of hard work and hard. That's exactly why they should be living. They should be listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. They should be willing to hear comforting words because of Kaitse Ruach and Avodah Kosh. What's the Loish Shamuel Moshe Mikaitse Ruach and Avodah Kosh? And right after this, Hashem tells Moshe, "Boy Daber, I want you to go now and speak to Paro. You spoke to the Jews. Go back to Paro again." So what's Moshe's response? "Hein b'nei Yisrael lo yishamu elai kal v'chaim." Rashi says this is one of the 10 kal v'chaimers in Chumash. The b'nei Yisrael didn't listen to me. How is Paro going to listen to me? "V'ani aral sifasoyim." This type of phrase is also not found anywhere else concerning lips. I have closed lips, stuffed lips. And he uses the word aral, which aral is arla, which by mila you have an arla. There's a mitzvah of arla. We're not allowed to eat fruit for the first 3 years after a tree is planted. Rashi brings it down here. It's interesting. This Rashi, aral sfasayim, he brings many, many psukim. Unusual for Rashi to do. He brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah, then again in Yirmiyah, and Chavakuk, and in Vayikra. Different proofs that the word arla can also be used, even not by mila, by ears. Areila oznam, by heart, arle lev, shuseyato vehe orel. Rashi's bringing one raya after another because it's bothering Rashi, this phrase, aral sifasayim. What Rashi does not seem to be tackling here is, but Mepharshim asks, again, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem that he can't talk? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu have this conversation already in Parshas Shemos? And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, when Hashem first appears to him, Loi ish devarim anoichi. I'm not a man of words. Okay, we know that. Moshe Rabbeinu was not an orator. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a speaker. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, had a speech impediment. Whatever that means exactly. He stammered, he lisped, whatever it was. He wasn't a speaker. And then Hashem tells him, Misam pel adam. What's your complaint? Don't worry, I'm telling you to speak. You'll be able to. And the words that Moshe Rabbeinu uses are kvad peh u kvad loshoin anoichi. I have a problem with my speaking abilities. Peh. Peh is the mouth. Lashon really is the tongue. But over here, the expression he uses is not peh or lashon. The expression he uses is aral sifosoyim, closed lips. So we're covering everything here. We have the peh, the lashon, the sifosoyim. Okay, but why is Moshe Rabbeinu using the words aral sifosoyim here? It basically means the same thing. Al peep shat, certainly it means the same thing. So, first of all, why is he complaining again? Well, he got already a psak for complaining in Parshas Shemos. He lost the kahuna because of that, as Chazal tells us, Gemara and Zvach, and Rashi brings it last week. And here again, v'ani aral sfasoyim. But here, a different phrase, not kvat peh, not kvat loshoyim, but aral sfasoyim. So what exactly does that mean? There are other diyukim in the Parsha, for example, by the Makos. The Makkah starts first with the stick turning into a snake. Not the same snake as we read in Parashat Shemos. That was done in front of Klal Yisrael. There's also here, V'hashlech, kaches matcha, v'hashlech lefnei farai, yehilis sanin. Now, a tanin is not necessarily a snake. Many hold a tanin is not a snake. A tanin is another type of creature. Really, a tanin is a whale. Some say it's a crocodile. There is such an opinion. Rashi says, nochosh. Rashi says it's a snake. So Rashi holds this is a nochash, because al peep shat it seems to be a nochash, other rayas. Why was that? What's this concept of turning a stick into a snake? What's the message? And then again, by the first makkah, by makkah's dam, it says, v'hamata asher nepach le nochash tikach biyadech. That would indicate that the tanin is a nochash. Others learn, no, it's a different stick. It's the other one, the stick that was used in front of Klal Yisrael. There are different opinions. I'm not going into that now. But what's the stress over here? The hamata asher nepach lenochosh tikach biyadecha, which seems to indicate that the makos that are going to be performed with this stick have to do with the fact that the stick turned into a snake. So what's so important about that? By makas dam, Paro is not affected. Paro is very stubborn, even though it was quite miraculous that the entire body of water, the Nile River, turned into blood. Water, blood everywhere. Paro is unimpressed, at least that's on the outside, he shows he's unimpressed. Vayifan Paro, Vayovel Vesa, Vele Shos Liboy Gam Lezois. He doesn't show any impression. So the Makkah ends, 7 days it lasts, Vayimole Shivas Yomim, and that's it. Comes the Makkah number two, different story. Makkah number two, which according to most Rishonim, are not frogs. People think Tzvardeya is a frog. The Rabbeinu Chananel, the Ramban, the Abarban all say it's a crocodile. There are many rais that it's crocodiles, not frogs. Rashi holds it's a frog. The Ibn Ezra says it was a frog. The Malbim tries to reconcile. It says it was both. They're both amphibious. They're both. Tzvardeya doesn't actually mean a specific creature. It's a min. It's a different kind. Included in Tzvardeya could be frogs and crocodiles. He says frogs were for those who sinned on that were not such big sinners, and the crocodiles were for the bigger Rishoyim. So he tries to bring the two shittas together. Whatever it is, frogs or crocodiles. But here, Paroi is showing that he's afraid. Here, Paroi can't handle it. Even though the Pasuk says, Vayasu chein ha-chartumim b'lateyem, they were also able to do like Moshe did. They also brought frogs somehow. They were able to bring frogs. Not the same way Moshe did. Moshe brought one frog, and that frog, every time they hit it, became many frogs. They brought many. So by Yikra Paro El Moshe, and he says, Hatiru El Hashem, you gotta pray to your God, I can't handle this. But Yosef, he has to remove the frogs. Interesting though, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yisfoyer Olai, glorify yourself over me. You pick the date. When do you want the frogs to be removed? So Paro says, tomorrow. A little bit far from ask. Tomorrow? He's going crazy, he can't take the fact that the frogs all over the place. If they were frogs, they were croaking, the noise must have been impossible. And if they're crocodiles, certainly wasn't something you want to share in your apartment with, and all over the place. But he's willing to wait till tomorrow. Okay, let's see if you could do it, that tomorrow they should be removed. And Mefarshim speak about this, by Arichas, why he wanted to wait, and Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to show him that this is all Yad Hashem, it's not like a fixed, even though the Makkah was supposed to last for a week. When we see over here that the Makkah did not last for a week. By Tzvardeya, clearly the Makkah did not last a full week. Otherwise, what's the problem? The week is over, the Makkah goes away. By every Makkah goes away. By the blood, there was no need to daven that the blood should be removed. The week is over, it turns back to water as if nothing ever happened. By Kinim, lasts a full week and that's it. Then there's no more lice. Dever, Shchin, you don't find that there's any tefillah. By Tzvardeya, though, Paro is asking Moshe to daven to remove the Makkah. It means it's going to end before it's supposed to. So that's a nes b'toich nes, because first of all, it's a miracle that all the frogs and crocodiles, especially according to many Mefarshim, there were no crocodiles in the Nile River before this. V'shoratz hayor tzifar, that means that it swarmed out of the river like by Brias HaOlam. They were never there. The word yishritzu hamayim by Brias HaOlam, they were never there before. That was part of the Bria. So here was part of that. It was like a Bria, a new Bria. It came out of the water. They were never there before. And at the end, rak bayor tisha'arna, which you also find only by Tzvardeya, that after the Makkah left, the Torah says, but in the river they shall remain. It's a constant reminder that there was once a Makkah here. It's interesting too, because Egypt is known for its crocodiles. The Nile River is a place where it's not known for frogs. You ever heard of the frogs of the Nile? But you heard of the crocodiles of the Nile. Ad hayoyim hazeh, that's what they're known for. According to the Midrashim, the Ramban brings down, that it's a nace that the crocodiles in the river in Egypt never come out again. Somehow they don't go out, they don't harm, they don't do anything. I imagine it's true. Okay, so I'm not going to contest what Chazal say, what the Ramban says, but that's what he says. Rak bayor tishan, that they remain only in the river, they don't come out, that it's a constant reminder that there was once a Makkah over here. But it ended before it was supposed to end. So why is it that Dafka by the second Makkah, by Tzvardeya, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Paro asks him to daven, and he davens at the Makkah end before it's supposed to, and it does. Clearly something is happening by the second Makkah that does not happen by the first. The impression that the Makkahs are leaving on Mitzrayim is really starting by the second Makkah, not by the first Makkah. So what's happening by the second Makkah here? There's a medrash right here at the beginning of the parasha. So the Medrash Rabbah right here on this pasuk, the Medrash Rabbah quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Kapitel Yudalad, it says over there, "Bechol etzev yihye moizar udvar sfasayim ach lemachsor." It's a pasuk in Mishlei. And the pasuk is saying that don't speak when you shouldn't. Dvar sfasayim ach lemachsor. Too much talk is just going to end up being detrimental. Dvar sfasayim ach lemachsor. And there the Medrash says that a person should always be speaking divrei Torah and not dvarim b'teilim. And what's the raya? This pasuk of b'chol etzev yihye moizar udvar sfasayim ach lemachsor. So what does that have to do with this pasuk here? Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe v'yalaron vayitzavim el b'nei Yisrael v'yalparoi melech Mitzrayim. Another question that Mefarshim ask here, not that we're going to spend the whole time just asking questions, hopefully we'll get to the answer too. Paroi is usually referred to as Paroi, not Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. We know Paroi is the king of Egypt. We learned about that already in the previous parasha. But over here it says, Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, the el Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. L'hoitzias b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. And before that, Boidaber el Paroi Melech Mitzrayim. Why does the Torah refer to him here as Paroi Melech Mitzrayim? Clearly that has something to do with what's happening here. The Kedusha Arim tells us that the 10 makos are connected, the 10 expressions of tefillah. There are 10 expressions of davening. Rashi quotes this at the beginning of Vayeschanan, that Vayeschanan, Tchina is Echad, Me'asora, L'shoinois, Shel Tefillah. There's Trina, Za'oka, Shava, Na'aka, Rina, Tfila, Shira. There are 10 expressions of Tfila, and the 10 makas correspond to the 10 Lashonos of Tfila. What exactly does that mean? Reb Tzadik, Pri Tzadik, brings down that the 10 makas are keneged the Asora Mamorois Shebohem Nivra Ha'olam. The 10 makas are keneged the Aseres Hadibrois. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya that the makos served a dual purpose. There was noguf v'rofu. That means there was a plague, but it was also a remedy. What does that mean? That means that it plagued the Egyptians, but it healed the Jewish people. So every makah was a plague. Hine anoichi noigef, makah, kipshutai. It humbled the Egyptians. It brought them down, and it took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Every makah served not just to beat up on the Egyptians, but to heal Klal Yisrael. Noguf v'rofu. Pasuk in Yeshaya. So there's a sefer called Zera Kodesh. Zera Kodesh, those who are familiar with Chassidus Svarim know, Zera Kodesh was the holy Reb Naftali Rofshitzer, the Rebbe of the Divrei Chaya. Zera Kodesh has a big arichis over here on what it says in Zohar, in this week's parasha, that in Mitzrayim, the Dibur was in Golus. What does that mean? The Dibur was in Golus. Speech was in exile. Speech. That they weren't able to daven. They weren't able to say a Yiddish vort, as the quote. They weren't able to speak properly. The Dibur was in Golus. That's why when we got out of Golus, we got out. That's Pesach is called Pesach. The Arizal says, the mouth that speaks. The Dibur was redeemed. As soon as we left Mitzrayim, we sang Shira, Oz Yashir. We're able to talk, we're able to daven, we're able to sing. And he has a whole arichas over here of what that means, and that this is the main stress in the parasha here, and the main goal here is to get the Dibur out of Golus. So what does that mean exactly? What does that mean, Dibur is in Golus? What differentiates a Jew from a non-Jew? What differentiates a person from an animal? Because we are compared to people. And the goyim lahavdil are compared to animals. Hashem created the animals, then he created man. First come the nations, then come the Jewish people. So what's the difference in a person and an animal? The power of speech. Vayihi ha'odom lenefesh chaya. A person talks, an animal cannot. Makes a lot of noise, but it can't talk. There's no dibur by an animal. Goyim, of course they talk. They're humans too. But their power doesn't lie in speech. Yodayim yodei esav. Hakoyel koyel yakoy. A Jew, his power is with his mouth. Koycham bepiv. Koycham bepeh. What does that mean? That means with the mouth. We do everything with our mouth. Davening, learning. And therefore, it's so the severity of using the mouth for negativity, whether it's Lashon Hara, Rechilus, Nivul Peh, Dvarim B'Telem, and that's what that pasuk, as we quoted before, Dvar Sfasayim Ach L'Machzor, by a Yid, that's detrimental. By a Goy, it's not. L'Havid, L'Goy, Goy could say what he wants. It's not as severe as when a Jew says the words that he should, because our whole existence, our whole being, is via the power of speech. And it all started, all the chatoyim, last week we mentioned about the chet Eitz Hadas and the chet of Kayin on a different vein, but this is all part of it. It all starts with negative speech. The chet Eitz Hadas began with the chet hanochosh, the lashon hara of the nochosh. The first lashon hara in history is the nochosh, which is why a person who speaks lashon hara is compared to a nochosh, and why they threw Yosef into a pit full of snakes, because they viewed him as a gossiper, and therefore he belongs with the snakes. The nochosh is the baal haloshoy. Ba'anochosh ha'yorim, ba'yoyim ra'anochosh el ha'isha, af ki omar elohim, mikol eitz hagon, ochel toicha. What was the first words that the nochosh says, and the first, that's what brought Chet into the world. All the iniquities, all the negativity, till Ad Hayoyim began with negative speech. And it continued with Kayin and Hevel. If you look in the parish of Bereshis, right before Kayin kills Hevel, it says, Vayoymer Kayin el Hevel Ochiv. Vayehi bihi yoysam basode, Vayokam Kayin el Hevel Ochiv ayahargeu. Doesn't say what Kayin told Hevel. Vayoymer Kayin el Hevel Ochiv. Stop. There's an asnachta over there. What did he say? Says Rashi from Chazal, Nichnas imoy bedivrei riv umatza. He began a whole feud. He didn't just go over him and say hi, smack him and kill him. First, they got into a fight, and they started to argue with all the different arguments that the Midrashim say they were arguing about. Whether it was the triplet that Hevel had that Kayin didn't have, whether it was because he was a worker in the field, that he was a shepherd, or they were arguing about the gift that Kayin brought, and that Hevel brought, and Hevel's was accepted and Kayin's was not, whatever the feud was. But what did it start with? Negative speech. Vayoymer Kayin el Hevel Ochiv. What brought Golus Mitzrayim? Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro'o el avihem. It's the dibur ra. The gossip that Yosef brought to his father, when they to the brothers, is what caused the feud, causes the hatred, which is what leads to Golus Mitzrayim, and leads to all the future Golias, because all Golias are rooted in Golus Mitzrayim. Kol HaGolias Nikrois Al Shem Mitzrayim. Al Shem Shem Mitzirim Li Yisrael, says the Medrash. All Dibur Ra. Onus Al Pi HaDibur, we say by the Haggadah, Pesach by night. It's all Al Pi HaDibur. It's all because of the Dibur. In fact, it all started with Avram's question that he shouldn't have asked, Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena, as Chazal say, because of that, Klal Yisrael had to be 400 years, Be'eretz Lo'ilohem, for those four words, for the question that Avram asked, Bamo Eida Ki Iroshena. So it's all because of Dibur. In Mitzrayim, the Dibur was in Golus. And the goal is that the Dibur should get out of Golus, meaning, because here is where Klal Yisrael is becoming a nation. We know that Yetzias Mitzrayim is compared to a birth. The Navi Yecheskel refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim as the Yoyim HaYoledes, as the birth of Klal Yisrael. So when a child is born, it separates from its mother until finally it becomes its own entity. It becomes an entity unto itself. Klal Yisrael was Me'urah, was mixed with the Egyptians. We were one entity with them. Now it's time to separate. Now comes the birth. And it's time to separate from the Egyptians. And the way we separate means we have to purify our speech. We're becoming a nation. We're becoming the Jewish people. The Jewish people are different than the nations in that we have elevated speech. We are Adam, Adam Atem, Atem Kruyim Adam. A person speaks, an animal does not. We are now becoming people. We're getting ready to receive the Torah. The Aseres Hadibrois. How did Hashem create the world? With Dibur. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu. With speech. Ba'asara Mamorois Nivra Ha'olam. What are we going to receive? Aseres Hadibrois. It's all Dibur. Come the 10 Makrois. And the 10 Makrois humble the Tumah of Mitzrayim, which, as we'll see in a moment, the Tumah of Mitzrayim is negative speech. What's the name of the king of Mitzrayim? Pera. Para is the letters Pera. Mitzrayim. Take the word Mitzrayim. This is Zerach Kodesh discusses here a few times. That Mitzrayim starts with a mem and it ends with a mem. And in the middle you have the word Yetzer. So he says a very interesting thing. He says that the Torah Shebal Pe, the mouth, starts with a mem, meye mosai. Parash Baal Peh ends with a mem. Hashem oz la'amo yitein, Hashem yivorech es amoy v'ashalom. Mem psucha, mem stuma. And in the middle is the entire Parash Baal Peh. So why did the Torah start with a mem, Parash Baal Peh, and end with a mem? To hint to us that our speech should be solely Torah Kedusha. That's the highest level. What's a mem? A mem, how do you say a mem? A mem, first of all, you need your lips to say a mem. You can't say a mem without lips. If you have no lips, you could have the best tongue in the world and the best teeth, but without lips, you can't say a mem, right? A mem, you have to first close, then you have to open, then you close it again. How do you say mem? You have to close. If you don't close your mouth, you can't speak out the mem. He says, Chazal, we're telling us a very, very important thing here. You have to open your mouth, and when you finish learning, close them. Because your speech should only be Torah, Tefillah, Kedusha, that. It should not be anything else. We're not just talking about Lashon Hara, Rechilas, Nivul Peh. That's obvious that a person should not be saying, should not be talking. But even unnecessary speech by a Yid, by a Jew, whose whole existence, the whole meaning of a Yid is that he speaks, that he has a Ruach, the Nefesh Chaya, Ruach Memalala. Our whole existence is Adam Atem, that we speak. So our speech, negative speech, means speaking that which is unnecessary too. So Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, he says, hints what the klipa of Mitzrayim was all about. The tumah of Mitzrayim was negative speech. Talk about anything you want. Don't talk divrei Torah. Don't talk divrei kedusha. So you have a mem at the front of the word Mitzrayim, a mem at the end, mem psucha, mem stuma, but the word yetzer in the middle. The yetzer hara gets in the way that when a Jew opens his mouth, he should keep it open and not close it. That's what the Zera HaKadosh says. We could add to it, perhaps. Paroi has, it starts with a peh, it ends with a hey, it's peh, but in the middle is ra. So there's ra in the middle that separates the peh from the hey, peh, just like in Mitzrayim, the word yetzer is in between the mem and the mem. Paroi melech Mitzrayim. So it's interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu uses the words here, aral sfasayim dafka, lips. The mem can only be said with the lips. But what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying over here? What's happening over here? Well, when Moshe Rabbeinu first came, when he first went out to his brethren, he saw the Dibur Ra. He saw Achenoi Da HaDavar. He heard how one talks about the other. He saw Dasan and Aviram, the Lashon Hara, the Sinas Chinam. So he ran to Midian. He was there for 68 years. He comes back. He's hoping that they rectify the situation. And what's he confronted with? Again, negative speech. The words they use here, Hivashtem es reichenu, ve'enei paroi, ve'enei avod, ve'los hascherev v'yodom dehargein, very sharp words. And it's the same individuals. So, basically, it doesn't sound like anything changed. Svarim tell us, it's brought out in many, many Sifrei Kodesh, that tzaddikim sometimes will do something that seems wrong. They would lower themselves to the level of the people so that it could be used as a limud zchus for the people. Meaning, if we could say, Hashem, what do you want from them? I'm the leader. I'm no better. I do the same thing. Find this with the breaking of the luchas. This is mentioned in many, many Sifrei Kodesh. Sam Seifer, others that I think mentioned this. Paradis Yosef. Why did Moshe break the luchas? There are many, many answers. One answer is that Moshe broke the luchas because Moshe is thinking, what can I possibly do to after the Chet HaEgel that I could join with them and it could be considered as if I also did some sort of Avodah Zarah, so the Aveir will be a little lower. Now he couldn't worship idols, obviously. He's not going to join with the Egel. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, Tafayin Hey, Hashoiver Kalim Bachamosa. If someone breaks plates, people get angry here, they throw plates. So hopefully no one does that here, but people do that when they get angry, they throw things. Says the Gemara, if you throw things when you're angry, you are like an idol worshiper. This is the whole Hezbollah. Why? It means you don't believe it's from Hashem. Why are you angry? Everything's from Hashem. So it's like idol worship. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us the Paradis Yosef broke the luchas in a fit of rage. So he says to Hashem, what do you want from them? That they're idol worshippers? So am I. That's it. So you want to kill them? Kill me too. I'm no better. See, if I'm that way, so what do you want from them? Moshe Rabbeinu lowered himself in order to bring Klal Yisrael back. So that shouldn't be such a severe punishment for them. That's what the Svarim tell us. Perhaps we could say the same thing over here. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that the negative speech is still there. So Moshe Rabbeinu says also, Lama Hari Yisrael, Lama Azeh. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking not nice to Hashem. Lama Hari Yisrael, Lama Azeh. That's right. Because purposely so. He sees that that's the chait, and Rachman al-Islam is to keep them in Mitzrayim more than it's supposed to. And he sees things are getting worse. Maybe that's the reason. So Moshe Rabbeinu also talks that way. He also talks in a negative tone. Lama hari oso lama ze. Hopefully that'll help. What do you want from them? I speak that way too. Negative speech, so do I. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'ani aral sfosoyim, he says the Zera Kodesh. The Zera Kodesh says this. The Brei Chaim says the same thing in other Sforim. That Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I cannot speak. He doesn't mean like what he said in the previous fashion. In the previous fashion, when he said kvad peh, kvad loshon, he meant literally, he cannot talk. He has a speech impediment. You want to send someone to speak to a king. You want to send the representative to go to talk to the president of the United States. So you send someone who doesn't make any sense. You send someone who talks with a stutter, with a stammer. You got to send someone who has oratory skills. He doesn't have it. Kvad peh. That's in Pashas Shemois. That's not what he's concerned about over here. Here he's concerned that he won't be able to say the right words. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just supposed to talk to Paro. The Sfarim say he was supposed to speak in Lashon HaKodesh, and Aaron then repeated it in Egyptian. What's the purpose of saying it in Lashon HaKodesh if Paro doesn't know Hebrew anyway? The Diburim, just saying Diburei Kedusha, will humble the Tumah of Mitzrayim, especially here. Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, the Torah is being Madgish. Pera, Melech Mitzrayim, which is the Diburis and Golas. You see, in the word Paro and in the word Mitzrayim, the connotation is negative speech. We have to get the Jews out of this country where they're falling into this tumah of tumas haloshon, which incidentally, shoivivim, is a time to work on, as we all know, shmiras habris. Shmiras habris has two parts to it. There's bris hamo'er and bris haloshon. So says the Sefer Yetzirah. They go together, hand in hand. Someone who's a shoima brisai is also careful in his speech. Someone who's not careful with his speech is not careful with the other bris either. The two brisais go together. Sholach yadav bishloimav. Chilel brisai, says the pasuk in Tehillim. That someone who talks negative, a balash in hurry, you know for sure he's not a shayim of bris, even though he might walk around the street with his eyes shut. He's not a shayim of bris if he's a balash in hurry. The two go together, bris and ma'or. Going out of Mitzrayim, it was necessary to rectify these two brisais. They had to be nizhar, they had to be separate, they had to be gedurim me'arayis. And they also have to be careful with their speech. The two go together, and in that schus, they were able to go out of Mitzrayim. The same thing today, clearly. We see today we live in a country where it's also Paray Melech Mitzrayim. Free speech. Freedom of speech. Sounds very good. So, we can say whatever we want. Freedom of speech is perhaps good for the Americans. But for Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing as freedom of speech. We do not have free speech. We have to be careful what we say. This country today is almost exactly like what it was in Mitzrayim. And therefore, the schus to get out of Golas today, we have to rectify the negativities that existed then, exist today, and what's going to help us get out of Golas now is the same that helped us get out of Golas then. Primarily in Shmiras HaDibur, Shmiras HaLoshon, which goes hand in hand with Shmiras HaBris, which is what Shoivim is all about. These weeks, we are elevating, purifying our speech to be Zeichet to Matan Torah, which we learn about as we get to Yisrael, and before that, the Shira, Oz Yoshir Moshe, means Vaya Yisrael is Mitzrayim Mace. Mitzrayim is dead. When Mitzrayim is dead, it means when that Tumah is gone, there's no more Mitzrayim, Mem Mem with a Yetzer in the middle. No more Parai, no Pera. Now we're able to talk. Now we're able to sing. Now we're able to daven. They weren't able to daven properly in Mitzrayim. They couldn't. The Dibur was in Golis. The negative speech didn't allow them. It's Yodua that if a person doesn't purify his speech, then how does he expect Hashem to listen to his prayers? How could one use the mouth is a clay shoresh. So it's a utensil that you're serving Hashem with. If it's not clean, how can it be used? That's why before davening, we say, Hashem sfasai tiftach, sfasai, my lips, open my lips, upi yagit tehil asech, because we know, unfortunately, what we use our mouths for. Sometimes we could use a good cleaning. So we ask Hashem, Hashem's for Sai Tiftach, Ufi Agit Tehila Secha, even so. In order for Tefillah to be Niskabel, one must be Metaher his Dibur. Therefore, there's such an emphasis in the parasha before and again here of Moshe Rabbeinu over and over again saying that he can't talk. What does that mean, he can't talk? Because Klal Yisrael can't talk. The Zohar Kodesh says, Moshe was Klolo de Yehudoi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the klolus of the entire Klal Yisrael. He was the nefesh ha-kloli. His neshama encompassed all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. So, ein b'klal elamasha b'prat. That's the phrase that he uses here. The Zera Kodesh. He was very busy, by the way, b'klal in his svarim on Shmiras HaLoshon, before the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is, of course, famous, known for the one who spread the concept of Shmiras HaLoshon throughout Klal Yisrael. We see that today clearly, which That's the prerequisite for the Geula. That's why there's such a Zahiris today, more than usual. But the Zera HaKadosh, who lived before, that was very busy with that also. And all the parashas, he talks about that, especially this week. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't talk straight, meaning to say he felt that his Diburim were not going anywhere, because Klal Yisrael had not yet rectified, they haven't purified their speech, V'haraya. They look what Dostan Aviram said to Moshe Rabbeinu just right before this. Hivashtem es reichenu be'enei fari. Moshe has to lower himself and say, Lama hari yoysa, lama hazeh, to try to save Klal Yisrael with that. But ani aral sefasayi. That's why it's meduyuk. That's why Rashi compares Orla here to the Orla of Mila, because Shmiras HaDibur goes together with Shmiras HaBriz. The two Orlas, Briz, Losh, and Ma'or, go together. Aral sefasayim. And he uses the word Sfasayim specifically, because that's the Mem of Torah Shabbal Peh, which starts with a Mem and ends with a Mem, which you need this Sfasayim to use. And that can be the reason why the Medrash on this Pasuk tells us, on that Pasuk in Mishlei, B'chol Etzev Yeh Moisa Ach, Dvar Sfasayim Ach Lemachsor, that one has to be careful what he says, and should only say Divrei Torah, and not Dvarim B'Telem. On this Pasuk, it fits perfectly now. Because this is what Moshe Rabbeinu meant. Ani Aral Sfasayim, I can't speak, I can't say Divrei Torah and Kedusha. My Diburim will not have an effect on Paray, even though I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, they will not have an effect, because I represent the entire Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael has not yet rectified their Dibur. That's why Aral, there's an Orla, there's a Klipa on the Sfasayim, that doesn't let the Sfasayim, doesn't let the Diburim inside come out. Which is why here the Torah uses the word paroi and melech Mitzrayim. It's negayat to know. Para, melech Mitzrayim. The tumah of paroi and Mitzrayim are so great that it's causing Klal Yisrael to suffer in this area. And they can't daven properly and they cannot utter words of Kedusha. So this we can understand why this, the Chedushi Arim says that the 10 makos are connected to 10 lashonos of tefillah. Which I respond to the Asorah Ma'amorah, so the Asorah Hadibris, it's all deeper, because every Makkah serves a dual purpose. It took us out of Mitzrayim another step. It elevated the power of speech, until eventually, after all the 10 Makkahs, finally our speech was purified, because the Tumah of Mitzrayim was humbled, and now we're able to go out of Mitzrayim, Pesach, and say Shira. So with this, we can understand the first pasuk. Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe, Vayomer el Bani Hashem. What's happening over here? A lesson in life. In life, everyone goes through difficulties. No one has a free ride here. Everyone goes through difficulties. And we, on the surface, on the outset, many times it looks like it's ra. Lama harayisa, lama zeh. But really, everything is good. We just don't see it. Eventually, we will see it. Everything is tov. The galus was intensifying. It looked like it's ra. Paro is not giving straw to the Jewish people. Why is this happening? But it's really good. It's in order to bring the Geula earlier. That's the whole purpose. The Geula wasn't supposed to come for another 190 years. So 190 years is being deducted. We can go out earlier. So the Golas had to intensify such a makeup for that time. Vayedaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer el Bani Hashem. Vayedaber is a lashon of Midas Hadin, Dibur, Kosher. Elokim is Midas Hadin. Then the pasuk switches. Vayomer el Bani Hashem. Amira is soft. Hashem Yudkei Vavkei is Rachamim. From Elokim to Yudkei Vavkei. Vayedaber, Vayomer. It's all one thing. Don't think they thought there were two gods. In Mitzrayim, they believe there's a god of good, there's a god of evil. This whole episode here proves it's the one and the same. It's the same Hashem. Hashem Hu Elokim. He's punishing the Egyptians, and at the same time, he's healing Klal Yisrael. They're experiencing, after each Makkah, a refuah. Refuah is the letters Oyer Peh, the light that comes from the mouth. From the mouth can come darkness, from the mouth can come light. Refuah is Oyer Peh. There's another pasuk in Mishlei. Marpe Loshoin Eitz Chayim. The Eitz Chayim, which is the Torah, is Merape the Loshon. It heals the tongue. Divrei Torah, Divrei Kedusha, Divrei Tefillah. Heal the mouth from all of the negativities, which is what they're waiting. They're getting ready for Matan Torah when Marpe Loshon Eitz Chayim. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is healed. The Medrash says, by Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu became an orator. He was able to speak. No more stammering, no more stuttering, no more lisp, according to most Midrashim. Marpe Loshon Eitz Chayim. The Pasuk says in Mishlei also later on, Shoimer Piv Uleshoinoi, Shoimer Mitzorois Nafshoi. That a person who guards his mouth protects himself from all the tzaras. Tzadikim always used to quote this pasuk, that all the tzaras come from the mouth, unfortunately. Al tiftach pel ha-satan. People say things, okay, a lot of times we don't mean it. one can do tshuva for what he says. People utter words that they shouldn't say, things they shouldn't say, curse their... Shaymeh pivel l'shaynoi, shaymeh mitzarei snafshei. It's interesting that if you take the Rosh HaTevis of this pasuk, shaymeh piv u'l'shaynoi, shaymeh mitzarei snafshei, which is shin pei vav, shin mem nun, is 776. That's exactly equal to shuvu bonim shayvavim. These weeks, shayvavim, shmais v'er by b'shalchus, is shaymeh pivel l'shaynoi, shaymeh mitzarei snafshei. We have to get out of the tsoris of Golus. We are suffering now. The Golus is intensifying. We are going through now what they were going through then, with many questions and things that we don't understand. Lama Hariyosa, Lama Azel, we could ask that question every single day. Why Tzadik V'Raloi, Rosh V'Toivloi? We have a lot of questions. There's nothing wrong with having questions. You have questions. You believe in Hashem. Do you have questions? Those who don't believe have no questions. They don't believe anything anyway. But you don't stay with the question. Moshe Rabbeinu had a question. Hashem answered him. Midas Hadin turns to Midas Harachamim. What you think is Ra is really Toiv. You don't see it yet. Now you're going to see it. By the Makos, every Makos took them out of another Tumah and enabled them to purify their speech. It's one. It's one and the same. Elokim Havaya is the same. Hashem Elokeinu, it's the same God. Not Chas V'Shalom, two deities, two entities of good and evil. It's all one. And there is no Ra. What we perceive as Ra, sometimes it might take time to find out, but eventually it's all Toiv, it's all part of a plan. The Toiv HaGonas that exists in every single situation. By Makas Tzvardeya Davka, we find that Paroi asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. He's asking Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. Paroi is asking Moshe Rabbeinu. Paroi is the one who said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koyle. Who's Hashem that I should even listen to? He's telling Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. Hatiru El Hashem. V'hamata hazeh asher tikach b'yodecha. What's the matter? The matter is what Hashem is, Moshe Rabbeinu was using the stick. Each time he's using the stick to bring another maka and another maka, but it's really through diburim. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying and telling Paroi, this maka is going to come, this maka is going to come. So he's using his mouth. The power of speech is being used. The same Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ani aral sfasayim." What can my diburim accomplish? He is accomplishing now the makas. But we're using a stick, and the stick was turned into a snake because it all starts with the nachash. The nachash brought chet into the world because of negative speech. It all started with the chet of the nachash. It all started with the chet of the tzadas. Which is why the first maifes, the first miracle that had to happen before the makas started, is a stick turns into a snake. The message to Paroi, Pera, is it's all Pera. It's all Mitzrayim, Meitzar, it's all Yetzer with the mems on either side. It's the chet hanochosh. It's the chet of lashon hara. It's negative speech. That's what started it. That's what's keeping the galus. And what's going to end it is when this stops. When we purify our speech and there's no more dilturia, there's no more lashon hara, and there's no more negative speech. Dvar svasayim achla machzor. So that's why the Torah stresses v'hamata asher nepach l'nochosh. Keep that in mind the whole time. It's all because of the nochosh. It's all because of negative speech. But by the first makapari is not affected. This is based on what the Reb Sadik brings down from Zohar HaKadosh and others for him, that the 10 makas are connected to 10 spheres. If you do it, 10 spheres split 7 and 3. That's why you have 7 makas in this week's parasha, 3 in next week's parasha. The makas in this week's parasha correspond to Chagas Nehim, that's Chesed Gevura Teferes, Netzach Hoyd Yisoid Malchus, those who are familiar with the spheres. But it starts backwards. So it's Dam is Malchus, and Tzvardeya is Yisoid. Svardeya is Yisoid. Yisoid is Shmiras Habris. Yisoid, when one is careful in the midah of Yisoid, which Yisoid and Malchus go together, that's why Yosef became a Melech, because he was Nizer and Shmiras HaYisoid. So that's why Yisoid and Malchus go together. So by Dam, we have Malchus, we don't have Yisoid yet. The Tikkun is not there yet. The Dibur is still in Golas. Paroi is not saying Davin for me. But by Svardeya, when Yisoid comes down to the world, The tzvardim, it says, castrated them. Because of that inyan, they wanted to be metamei klal Yisrael. They were punished, they were castrated. So tzvardeya is yisoid. Mitzrayim can't handle yisoid. Mitzrayim is ervas ha'oretz. Mitzrayim, their whole existence is pegam habris. Their whole existence is tumah in this area. You're sending yisoid to Mitzrayim. So for them it was a mapala. For Klal Yisrael, it was an aliyah. It was getting out of this tumah. That's why for the first time, Paroi says, Hatiru El Hashem. Suddenly we're able to daven. Paroi is like releasing, he's allowing Klal Yisrael to daven. He's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Hatiru el Hashem, daven to Hashem, davka by this smak, by tzvardeya, where there's already a tikkun of Yisoid. And what type of tefillah? A tefillah that proves that you could even end it before it's supposed to happen. The makkah was supposed to last a full week. Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem, the makkah ends earlier. Others say that if the makkah would have gone the full week, then there would have been no pegame afterwards. The Yisoid would have been b'shleimus. It was not b'shleimus because it didn't last a full week. Till today we suffer for that. But Kiddush Hashem was necessary. Moshe Rabbeinu had to show Paray, whatever you tell me to do, I can do. You want me to end the makkah? I end it. You want to end it tomorrow? I end it tomorrow. You want to end it earlier? You want to tell it? Whatever you want. L'man teida ki ein kashem eloikeinu. It says by this makkah, which doesn't say by all the other makkahs. L'man teida ki ein kashem eloikeinu. Who can end it whenever he wants. You want it tomorrow? L'machar, it'll be tomorrow. So dafke here, by tzvardeya, by yisoid, Paray is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. And here we learn what tefillah can accomplish. Tefillah can bring about something even before it's supposed to happen. And that's what's happening in this whole parsha. Golus Mitzrayim was supposed to last 400 years. Golus Mitzrayim is ending 190 years before it's supposed to, because Vatal Shavosam Elo Lekim and Avoida. Finally, the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael are accepted. The Golus will end even earlier, like Makas Tzardeya ends before it's supposed to, but the power of tefillah is so great. Once the Dibur is rectified, once there's Kedushas HaDibur, we're able to daven, davening can accomplish and be mevatel a gezeira that was already preordained. It was preordained that the goal is supposed to last for 400 years. Rashi quotes over here what we see in this parasha. But the Torah mentions how many years Levi lived, how many years Kohos lived, and how many years Amrov lived, just to show that they weren't in Mitzrayim for 400 years, and that the Shebet really didn't start when they first got there. It started first after Levi was nifted. It's all to show us the Chesed Hashem during the din, by Yadabra Elokim al Moshe, by Yomer Elav Ani Hashem. It's supposed to be 400, it's 210. The Shebet is supposed to be 210, it's only 116 or 86 years, different Shebets. So Parshas Va'era is a parsha of revelation. Parshas Va'era is the parsha of refuah. The refuah begins in this parsha, the refuah of Klal Yisrael. The Tikkun HaDibur, the Tikkun HaBris starts in Parshas Va'era, and now Klal Yisrael Aroi for Geula. The first time that Eliyahu Hanavi is mentioned in Chumash is this week. Pinchas, Vateled Loyes Pinchas, Pinchas Ze Eliyahu. Va'era is Begematria Pinchas. Pinchas, of course, is the Mevaser Toiv. The Mevaser Toiv, the Mevaser HaGeula, he's mentioned for the first time here in this parasha of Revelation, the parasha of Aschalta VeGeula, the parasha that the Makos begin. So just like by Yomim Ohem, the pasuk says in Micha, Kimei Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Arenu Niflois. The way it happened then is the way it's going to happen now. Then we were Shokua in Memtes Sharei Tumah. Today, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, we're in Nun Sharei Tumah. Specifically in this area of Bris HaLoshen and Bris HaMo'er. But today we see, Baruch Hashem, a tremendous effort by Klal Yisrael to try to elevate ourselves in this area. Such a worldwide Shmiras HaLoshen movement that you never found before. All these shiurim that I've been giving during these weeks, Shoivim weeks, where you see Klal Yisrael trying at least to elevate themselves somewhat in this area. And it's very difficult in our time, because the Eitz HaHara today in this area is half-lay fella. The Aral Sfasayim, the Orla that exists today, is very, very difficult to combat, if it's possible to combat at all. So Hashem just wants to see a little, that we try a little bit, that we control ourselves a little bit. Every little counts. The Arizal already said 500 years ago in his time that the Avoida in our time, he told his Talmud of Chaim Vital, is worth much more than Tanoim and Amiroim, because it's so hard for us. What was so hard for the Arizal 500 years ago? Did he have to deal with what we have to deal with today? Can we even compare it? But compared to the Tanoim and Amiroim, whatever it was difficult. Imagine today, compared to the Arizal. What are we compared to the Arizal? Any little shmira that a Yid does in this time, any amount of time that is spent doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing, is considered by Hashem much greater even than what's done in the previous generations. One little bit can accomplish so much. So we should all be zeichet to va'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov, va'era is a lashon osid also, that Hashem will appear once again to Klal Yisrael. We will be zeichet to the geula of Mashiach, Tzidkenu, who will reveal the secrets of the Torah, Pnimiyas HaTorah. Then they were getting ready for Kabbalah HaTorah HaNiglis. Now we're getting ready for Kabbalah HaTorah HaPnimiyas, as Rashi says in Shira Shira. The same thing. Then Moshe Rabbeinu prepares them with the four expressions of geula, for Ani Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Now we're preparing for a higher level of Yudkei Vavkei, as the Svarim speak about. Whatever was then, now. Then they were preparing for the Aseres HaDibris, Matan Torah. Now we're preparing for Torah Seishol Mashiach, Torah Chadosha, Me'iti Teitzei. We should be zeichet to be mesakana ourselves during these weeks of Shoivivim. And whatever happened then, Nogav V'Rafu, to those umays that require Nogav, and to us, we should all be zeichet to a refuah, and to the Geula, and to Tchias HaMesim, and to see everything with our own eyes, that everything is really good. It's all chesed and rachamim. We believe it, and we will see it. Good night.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.